back to Hour 2 of the Hollywood Casino Press Box, featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoin on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Maryville University sponsors our phone lines. Each new student is assigned a life coach who is a knowledgeable resource for academic advising, mentoring, campus networking. We appreciate Maryville being our sponsor, maryville.edu. And the Gatesworth, of course, sponsors the program, too. They're at 170 in Del Mar. The answer is always yes when you call down to the front desk. They treat their residents about as well as any residents can be treated anywhere in the country. The food is outstanding. The activities are great. The Gatesworth, the finest in senior living. Here's a kind of a cheap shot, but very witty by 636. Are we really shocked Frank has no objection to Virginia not initiating their offense until 15 seconds are left on the shot clock? I mean, that's all Rick Pitino needed. Hashtag Prasta Prematura.
Oh, that's got to be Gardner.
Is that Gardner? That has to be Gardner.
We checked the forensics on this.
Here's the thing. I will say this, though.
Do you know that number?
The hashtag is good enough that it's been used by multiple people, I believe.
That's Gardner.
That is Gardner?
Yeah, that's his number.
Can we get a judge's ruling also? We haven't really been keeping the tote board up to date. Great question. Whoever gets one, it goes on the board. Frank got a great question, and it was emphatic from Brad Soderberg. But the interview started with, that's a terrible question. So I think on the plus minus, I mean, we rarely get a guest who says that is a terrible question. Granted, it was in jest. It was sort of LaRussa-esque. Hey, how you doing today? Frank, that's a terrible question. Of course, they're doing great. They're riding high. But I think at minimum, they negate each other. Is that fair?
I think it's fair.
Speaking of Rick Pitino, the UCLA job is open, and they're going to make Tony Bennett say no, and he probably will say no. I don't think I'd leave. Now, Jamie Dixon at TCU appears to be the best of a group.
Does that do it for you, for UCLA, Jamie Dixon?
Yeah. I guess it depends on how many people say no. I mean, the guy did have a decent run at Pitt.
And they're decent this year at TCU,
yeah, they're
right?
They're in the NIT semifinals.
Gosh, can you hire an up-and-coming assistant at UCLA?
No,
you can't. You got to hire a name.
Mick Cronin is also a possibility.
That would not do it for me if I'm UCLA.
I'll tell you who.
What about Kelvin Sampson?
He's staying in Houston, apparently.
Would you want him at UCLA?
Sure.
Move the needle a little bit.
Mick Cronin seems like he's destined to just coach at different Midwestern schools without ever touching a blue
blood.
And
he's destined to lose in the first weekend of the NCAA tournament.
Unless
for
it's
all
to
time.
Freaking Mizzou.
As a 7-8 or 9.
Unless it's to freaking Mizzou.
Shaka Smart, who's been a little disappointing at Texas, is on the list. You know who else is on the list? Is Randy Bennett, who's a really, really good coach at St. Mary's, and he was at SLU. Now, and the guy wins a lot of games, but I don't know that's really a sexy hire.
I think it'd be a good hire, but it may not be a very big marketing home run.
Have you heard that Jerry Stackhouse may be in line for the Vandy job?
Good for Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I like the state of Tennessee, and this is Vanderbilt. You have Penny Hardaway at Memphis. Hire old basketball players who I remember.
But
I like that.
And here's the slight difference, though. Stackhouse, at least, has been behind.
I'm okay with that.
Stackhouse has been behind a bench at the NBA level for the last year and a half plus. Penny was a little bit different. Penny was just like, I've been coaching these kids in AAU.
I'm a Memphis legend.
It was the AAU ties, because as soon as Penny got the job, Memphis snagged a really high-level big man. But I love the Jerry Stackhouse thing. I mean, as long as Jason Kidd's not getting any more head coaching jobs, we're fine.
I like the fact that Brian's bar is that he knows the player.
I recognize him. That's cool. Who doesn't remember the little Penny ads with him and Chris Rock?
See, the Vandy AD is a North Carolina grad and is very familiar with Stackhouse. So,
and the SEC move of late has been to get name coaches. Yeah. And if they'd been in the league at some level, although the Avery, I would have bet that Avery Johnson worked out there. I would have thought that would work.
Where's Mike Anderson headed? You would think
nowhere
with that guy's
assistant coach.
He has a pretty good coaching resume.
I'm guessing he's going to be an assistant for a year or two.
It's hard to believe he can't find work with all these openings.
By the way, the Braves and Ronald Acuna are close to an extension. 8 years, $100 million per Jeff Passan.
All right, you ready for Five for Frank? It's brought to you by Greenville University, greenville.edu. Don't forget about that seminar this Friday, Saturday, the forensics event we told you about yesterday, where you can learn more about identifying sexual assault and reporting it. It's not just for police officers, but really for all walks of life. More information at greenville.edu.
All right.
For Frank, brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution, just 45 miles from St. Louis.
Frank, your level of shock that Marcell Ozuna has supplanted Derek Fowler as the Cards pinata
Dexter.
For fans.
Dexter
Who did
Fowler?
I say?
He said Derek Fowler.
Yeah, him too. Dexter Fowler. How surprised are you? Ozuna right now is more unpopular than Fowler. Don't you think that's fair?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Did you see this coming 5 days in? Ozuna is just like a punchline immediately. It didn't take long.
We don't really ask for that much out of our baseball players. It's just that they can throw a baseball. And that is really troubling for another year. And I think this, too, the optics, is that you see Dexter Fowler coming in slim and trim and working hard, and then you see Marcell Ozuna.
I was really hoping they were going to put Molina out and left after and move someone in the third, just because I wanted to see an onslaught of tweets of Molina is the second slowest left fielder for the Cardinals today.
Didn't you want Molina to get a ball
yes.
at third?
Yes.
Just to see what happened. But also, and we're not, you know, chummy, I would say. Yachty and I, we're not real tight.
Really?
But had he made, I really wanted him to make a great play just to add to, like, the legend. You know how fans would go
and
nuts.
You know he would have, because you know as well as I, because you're there at 3:30 a lot. That guy picks up ground balls.
He really does.
And he looks like he could play second base in Major League Baseball.
Makes a backhanded pick at third, throws the guy out at first.
We were sitting in the office at Fox 2 yesterday, and we were debating. It was fun to talk about. Like, what do you do? Do you put Matt Wieters in left? And people were saying, well, Goldschmidt played third in high school. I'm like, I'm not moving Goldschmidt. I'm leaving him alone. So we're going through all these different options. And I said, you know, Molina takes a hell of a lot of ground balls. Pre-game, like every game, third base, second base. It would have been fun if he had just. I was thinking like a Greg Nettles, just kind of like a diving stop.
Oh, that would have been great.
Turns a double play.
And you know, in left field, and Charlie's like, dude, put him in left. I want to see him throw somebody out with his arm, as opposed to what we see with Ozuna. It's unbelievable. All right, number two, the game is on the line. You have to get a hit. What player do you want at the plate?
Right, well, Goldschmidt would be one, and then Colton Wong actually would be two.
I was thinking, I've got Jose.
Now.
Gosh, just the
well,
clutch.
I guess I would take Jose over
like
Colton.
Like clutch factor.
Yeah.
Like in the ninth, I just thought Jose, he's going to get a hit.
Yeah.
He's off the bench.
You can't take him over Goldschmidt.
No, no, at this point, no. But
he is special.
What is it? He's a guy, he's a bench player, and he's probably the guy, other than Goldschmidt, that you most want at the plate with the game on the line.
He is forcing the Cardinals to make a decision they didn't want to make this early.
Like, do you live with
his
crappy
playing
defense?
Time? Yes, and then who sits? Is it Fowler after all the promises he made this offseason? Is it Ozuna after all the swearings that he's healthy and we're good? This is not a position they want to be in.
I got to tell you, I think if he's in left and he's a butcher, nobody would care.
And
like,
he hits? Yeah.
Like the fan base. The fan base won't complain because of what you're seeing with Ozuna. Grant, it's only five games, but this is an off season where we kept hearing it started in October with Mo saying you can't lead a horse to water, can't make him drink, whatever it was. And then in January, well, I guess I'm gonna have to go down and see him. We don't know if he can throw or not.
It's interesting because as you rank the Cardinal outfielders, he could actually be considered fifth, but with the fans, he'd be considered second. After Bader. Would you agree with that?
Yes. I think fans get who Jose Martinez is at this point. An American League player stuck on a National League roster, but okay, that's fine. I like guys who come up with big hits. And Ozuna, the arm obviously is not right. He came over damaged goods. We get that. It didn't improve. He had the operation or the procedure at the end of the year. But even that last year, remember how it was late in the season. And they happened to be in L.A., so they said, while they're here, he's going to see his agent, and Boris's people have the medical team. You could fly out there at any time.
Yes.
You could fly to L.A. in April or May or June, but they waited until the end of the year. It's just sort of this nonchalance that's driving people crazy.
You're saying they could have bopped on down?
He could have bopped to L.A. All right, number three, you're a Nats fan tonight. Frank, are you booing Bryce Harper?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why not?
I think so.
Sure.
If I'm in the stands, yeah.
His own fans are already doing it. Why not?
Just make him feel like he's at home in
yeah.
Philly.
He did get booed that first, was it first game or when he
yeah.
struck out? Yeah.
Yeah, first game of roughly 2,000 he'll play for the franchise. I think well get it out of the way.
I think the Philly fans at that point are having fun. Like they're living up to their
yeah.
reputation.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're kind of.
Caricature
like a caricature.
Themselves.
Yes,
yeah.
I think they know that.
See, it's a lot different than Albert after all these years. Now, believe me, if Albert were to play a game in St. Louis the year after, he would have gotten booed. It would have been at least 50-50, don't you think?
I think, yeah, it might have been 60-40 boos.
Yeah.
I think the...
But now this will be 99-1 against Albert.
No,
I mean, it'll be Albert.
It's going to be a love fest.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any doubt about it. I like how Bryce Harper... channeling his inner Frank when he was talking about coming back. I guess he did an Instagram post. He said, I always love D.C. And then he mentions like two restaurants right away. The Silver Table and some other place that he used to eat. The guy is a major foodie. And the first thing he did was reference food in his return to D.C. And they're going to see him all the time.
That's the follow-up. How many years is he booed in D.C.? Because he goes there... four or five times a year, probably plays 10 games there a year.
Every game. It's like...
For the next 13 years?
Who, like in St. Louis... Well, I mean, Mike Keenan, every time he came back, he was booed.
How long did Cardinal fans boo J.D. Drew?
Did you ever really boo him?
We didn't get to see him
I think we were pretty glad, when he was gone.
No, but I think that's because people hated him here.
Yeah.
Also,
it became more
right.
apathetic.
I don't think there wasn't like
because he wasn't polarizing. He was just maybe a guy
annoying.
That didn't play hurt all the time.
He's ouchy, as Tony would say. Yeah. He's a little achy today, which was code for he was wussing out, but he wouldn't actually say that until he wrote the book, Three Nights in August. And then he said that was Buzz. Who said that. No, I don't think Buzz. JD was ever hated. I think he was frustrating beyond belief.
It's a shame, Brian, you as an analytics guy. Like some of those seasons were just insane. But Brian, give me one of his like analytics just crazy season with walks and OBP and slugging and
he had an OPS plus of 161 in 2001.
Oh my god.
Like that's we talk about what the Cardinals need. If you put J.D. Drew on the team now, imagine the offense it would be. You know, that was only in 109 games due to injury, but that's 75 strikeouts, 57 walks, a slugging at .613.
Wow.
That's what they're looking for now.
How about his like career numbers?
.278 average, .384 on base, and a .489 slugging.
How about
and OPS was what?
.873.
Okay, now compare that to Steve Garvey, who's regarded as one of the great players of his generation and who's an analytics nightmare.
Steve Garvey was a .294 average, .329 on base, .446 slugging, .775. OPS.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess the analytics are not friendly to Garvey. The way we remember him, just
Steve
the batting stance and everything.
The forearms.
Played the
Mr.
part.
Clutch.
And he's still super smooth, isn't he? Every time you see him.
He is. But they used to say, what's the definition of mass confusion? Steve Garvey on Father's Day.
See.
I think he impregnated three women on the same day.
Wow.
Or the same year.
Same day would be deep.
Epic.
Well, he may have moved around.
Devin Booker had two different women give birth to his kids on the same day.
Who did?
Devin Booker.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Which
the
one
high scoring guard?
Yeah, for the Suns.
So which
Devin Booker's son? Yeah, he had
two different women on
two
the
different
same
women
day.
Had his kid within like it was either the same day or within like a two-day span of each other or something like that. He had
if
two different women give birth.
Same day, what birth do you go to?
Wow. You know, do you
it's
remember the magazine?
Question.
Do you remember the magazine Inside Sports?
Yes.
You're old enough to remember that.
Was Pete Axelman inside?
He was, yeah. And they did a piece about Steve and Sidney Garvey because his first wife, if you Google her, was really stunning. And she had the most incredible quotes. And she said, Steve's so dull. I want him to, when we're sitting around the house and he says, what do you want to do? I want my man to say, let's go to dinner and then make wild love. She had all these like wild quotes in this. It was just unbelievable.
And it turns out he was just with other women.
Exactly.
Which you would have never guessed if you looked at him, if you saw him being interviewed. I thought he was going to be a politician.
Martin, everybody said he was going to be the United States Senator from California when he retired. And then all the scandal broke.
All right. Number four, is a two-goal lead really a bad thing? Or is it just a Blues thing? Every time they get up by two, I can hear Doug Vaughn say, oh, it's the dreaded two-goal lead. there does seem to be something to it. There's also the Fox 2 curse, which is having sports at about 9:40 and the Blues' final minute of every game being about 9:38 and the tying goal goes in right at tease time. Very timely for us that those Blues games end up in overtime right as we're going to our break. But do you think that's really a... I mean, you'll take a two-goal lead.
Winnipeg got a two-goal lead last night and blew it.
Yeah, that's right. But then they came back and won.
Yes.
But, yeah...
do you think there's really something to the two-goal lead? Teams retreat a little bit or the other team amps it up. It does seem to happen a lot where the score gets flipped when you're up by two. So maybe Doug Vaughn's not imagining.
The Devils had a two-goal lead last night and coughed it up. Ended up winning, but up 2-0, Rangers ended up tying it.
Blues blew a two-goal lead the other night, yes. All right, number five is Craig Berube's most impressive work. The fact that he's kind of tough on a team that historically hates coaches that are tough, right? I mean, they've always kind of whined and moaned, well, we don't like this guy. Well, he's too mean. He's too soft. He's too easy. They complain about every coach. They've chewed up and spit out coaches. They all hated Hitch. We get it. He was demanding. He was old school. He wasn't up to date. But Berube seems to be able to be tough on guys, and yet they're not whining and griping about it.
I think his greatest strength is the I don't give a blank factor. I think some of these coaches that were tough actually did care what they thought. And like, you know, Hitch would set up that leadership committee of four guys and say they ran the team and stuff. But this guy clearly runs it, and he doesn't care what you think about him.
I wonder if Doug Armstrong, Craig, you want that job? That's fine if you want me to. I don't think he's going to, like, give you anything in the negotiation. Like, oh, please give me the job. Give me a three-year deal. Whatever. Fine with me. I just don't see him cracking who he is. And with all those players that have complained over the years, I think you're right. I think he just doesn't care, and he's going to be exactly who he is. All right, Five for Frank, brought to you every day by Greenville University, Greenville. .edu.
Brian, do you want to tell us about the Angry Beaver, who is a sponsor of this station now?
Well, Frank, I'll tell you what we got going on here on 590 The Fan. Thursday is the scheduled opening day, which I suppose is in quotes now because of a forecast of rain. However, 590 The Fan will be airing the countdown to the home opener for the 2019 season, airing tomorrow from 1 to 3, and again on Thursday from 5 to 7 in the morning, featuring interviews from the Tim McKernan Show with guests like Dexter Fowler, John Mozeliak, Mike Shilton, more. Thanks to the following sponsors for making all of this possible. The Angry Beaver, sports bar with the feel of your local neighborhood bar. It's a great place to hang out before, during, or after every Cardinals game. Located at 730 South Broadway, just a few blocks away from baseball heaven. The JMH Law Firm. Getting in trouble with the law is never fun, but you might as well have the best criminal defense lawyer in St. Louis behind you. Give Joe Harvath a call today at the JMH Law Firm, 314-827-6222. And Lakeside, building a solid reputation as one of reliability, trust, high-quality work, and competitive prices. Lakeside Roofing features the finest quality roofing materials, and they provide expert installation. Find them online at lakesideroofing.com.
We'll take a short time out. When we come back, Mel Kiper has come out with his mock draft. Am I going to make $200 from Stricken Tuna? We'll answer that when we come back.